Now, the Government of Ireland is committed to the unity of the Irish people. That is a line from the programme for government. But how much focus does the government really have on the question of Irish unity? And are any serious preparations being made to meet that commitment, or are they just polite, meaningless words? Well, on this Easter Sunday, that is a question we're going to explore shortly with Mark Hennessy of the Irish Times and Professor Deirdre Heenan from Ulster University. But first, our reporter Peter O'Connell visited Banbridge, Armagh, Warren Point and Newry to ask people their views on the prospect of a united Ireland.
It is something that I would think about, but it is a question I would wonder what does it look like, and for everybody across the communities, you know. And I think in our wee country it's a very sensitive issue, so we need to ensure that both sides of the fence are happy with that. Like, our education isn't even integrated.
I would be happy to stay in Northern Ireland. Banbridge especially would want to stay part of the United Kingdom, you know.
I've always been for a united Ireland, but I'm just not as excited about it as I used to be. I just don't think the South wants the North, and you know yourself, there's plenty in the North don't want to be part of the South either. For me, at the minute, it's just not as big an issue as it used to be.
I'm from a Protestant background in Belfast, but I have an Irish passport, always have had an Irish passport. I like the idea of a united Ireland, but I also like the autonomy of Northern Ireland.
I'm not really sure about the South, really, in all honesty, whether they want a united Ireland or not.
What would it look like, do you think?
I honestly don't know. Of course I want a united Ireland, but there's no point. The South won't want the North if their economics are going to go down by having to support the six counties.
I think it would be a good thing if it was explained properly to the people of the North. You know, obviously the unionist people of the North feel that they're being betrayed if it becomes a united Ireland, but I don't see it like that. As a unionist voter, I don't see it like that.
As a unionist, you would be in favour of a united Ireland. Why?
I honestly believe the people of Northern Ireland would be better off financially and culturally, if you want.
Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, has ruled out the prospect of a border poll in 2030, but if there was, what would your guess at the outcome be?
I would say it would be at least 55-45 against. I think the majority of people in the North wouldn't want it.
My mum and dad always had the belief in a united Ireland. I knew no better from a young age, but now that I've grown up, I have my own mind. Like, I could start to make my own decisions. If it does mean, you know, not getting healthcare paid for you and having to go private and pay, then if it's going to cost you more money in the long run, there's no point.
I would love to see a united Ireland. I'm not prepared to go out and do anything about it, but I'd love to see it if somebody else would do it.
Those are some people in Northern Ireland speaking to our reporter, Peter O'Connell, and we are joined now on the line by Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University, Deirdre Heenan, and in our studio by Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times, Mark Hennessy, who also leads the newspaper's Common Ground project, which probes relations on the island between Ireland and Britain. Thank you both for joining us. Mark, if I can start with yourself, that last voice there in the Vox Pop, the man who said he'd like a united Ireland, but he's not prepared to do anything about it. Does that sort of echo the attitude of the government towards unity, that it remains an objective, but without any serious plans to achieve it?
Yes, I mean, the interview that Micheál Martin gave to the Belfast Telegraph, it largely restated opinions that Martin has said in Dáil Questions and elsewhere for many years. He doesn't want to see a speedy poll. He believes that the focus should be on reconciliation on between both parts of the island, and rather than going down what he would see as a dead end in terms of a constitutional debate that would cause significant difficulties in his view. Now, you have to remember, two-thirds of people consistently in the Republic when asked say that they want unity. However, their support stutters somewhat when they're asked about flags, anthems and other issues, and whether a devolved Stormont should continue. But largely what you have is a situation where the politicians don't believe the people, which is a slightly unusual outcome in politics. They politicians in the South, and certainly those in government, do not believe that a declaration by two-thirds of the people that they want unity is something that needs action now, and that if they wanted to frighten the politicians or the public, that Micheál Martin would have gone on the steps of government buildings on the 1st of April and announced that he was that a referendum was going to be held, and then call out April Fools. Many of the people in politics going into the last election, you could see with the manifestos that there were some interesting signals on the question of unity coming from people. Labour wanted a Department of Unity. Sock Dems had some quite strong language. Fine Gael was talking about unity being an objective, which was a development from where they were. And then once they got into the programme for government talks, Labour were gone out of the scene, Sock Dems were gone out of the scene very quickly. And people within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who raised the issue of preparations for unity were told in no uncertain terms to go and take a running jump, that this was not something that voters wanted, that the leaders believed that they'd been elected to deliver on immigration, on housing and other key issues. And you also must remember that there is still a half-life within government on foot of the constitutional referendums last year. Anything that they see as, quote, airy-fairy, as one minister said to me, is off the agenda.
Professor Deirdre Heenan, we know that from the Aaron's Project polling that attitudes are changing in Northern Ireland. Are they changing to a significant degree that we could see a border poll sometime within the next decade?
I don't think so. I was interested in your Vox Pops, and they were very reflective of attitudes here in the North. People saying the South doesn't want the North, the UK doesn't want the North. In many ways, we're nobody's child. And then people saying, well, what would it look like? Raising issues about money and payment, and of course, raising issues about health. These are the types of opinions that we've had for the last decade. I suppose what's interesting is when Stormont was restored in February last year, after its most recent period of abeyance, Michelle O'Neill became the First Minister, and that was an historic moment, a Sinn Féin First Minister. And many people thought that this would push United Ireland up the political agenda, that we would be hearing about a border poll non-stop, that this would be her mantra, that she would talk about reunification. In fact, she has concentrated on being what she refers to as a First Minister for all. And a border poll wasn't mentioned in her opening speech, her acceptance speech. And it's rarely, if ever, mentioned in everyday politics here, which is interesting because reunification is Sinn Féin's raison d'etre. Yet, unless it's at a conference speech or some sort of event, a rally for the grassroots, we rarely hear about it. And as has been mentioned in Micheál Martin's recent interview with the Belfast Telegraph, he said that he couldn't see a border poll for the foreseeable future, perhaps not even in 50 years. And there is a kind of view that if you talk about reconciliation and say that reconciliation is a prerequisite for any real discussion about unity, what does reconciliation mean? It's a nebulous concept. Is it reconciliation of people in the North? Is it reconciliation between the North and South? I think for me, what is interesting, what has come out of the Aaron's projects, is that we have to understand that those people who do support a United Ireland are not an homogenous group. And within that group, there are people who simply want a border poll in the morning. They're gung-ho about it. As soon as possible, let's get this over with because we feel that we're going to win. But there are a significant group of people who are much more circumspect, who say we need to plan for this. Did we learn anything from the Brexit referendum? Is that the foolhardiness of going into a vote and not knowing what you're voting for?
Yes, I want to pick up on that with Mark, because there would have to be an enormous amount of planning done, wouldn't there, before you could get to a point where you'd have a border poll. There are questions around what would happen to people's healthcare, their pensions, their wages, their taxes, their education. Mm-hmm. And none of those questions have been addressed so far. So who would or who should be undertaking that work?
Well, this is the point. I mean, the argument that Micheál Martin would make is that the shared Ireland is where it's at, that it's about reconciliation, and that if you start bringing in talk of constitutional issues, the very people that you want to take part in reconciliation will disappear off the pitch because they're afraid of something coming down the road that will not too be their liking. And he started off shared Ireland 5 years ago, 6 years ago, with 40 million, very small. So small, in fact, that it was greeted with contempt by people within his own party. let alone outside of it. Today, it has a billion of a budget. It's getting another billion. It has got a certain amount of significant buy-in from unionists that it isn't seen as being a Trojan horse or whatever else. Now, clearly, we are in a situation where subject to there not being huge seismic issues that change the landscape, there isn't a border poll coming in the next few years. But we do have a situation where if, for instance, an extra seat or an extra two seats at the next Westminster election were to go green, if opinion polls were to continue to show incremental increases in the support for unity in Northern Ireland, then we do get to a position within after 2030 at some point where it is at least arguable that a referendum should be held. And under the Good Friday Agreement, Secretary of State of for Northern Ireland is shall call a referendum if, in their view, a referendum, if put, would succeed. Mm. That's a very difficult subjective judgment to make any sort of argument about. Sinn Féin last year talked about perhaps the possibility of court action to put some guardrails around them.
They'd have to have a basis first, yes.
Exactly. How do you decide whether support exists or not? But you do have a situation, for instance, if after the next British election you were to see, and this is not beyond the bounds of possibilities given how poor the British Labour Party is proving to be at basic politics, that you could have a Reform UK Conservative Party alliance in charge in Westminster. Now, we saw what Brexit and what Boris Johnson and others did in terms of Northern nationalist support for unity. So in that sort of a situation, there is a danger. And then we would be in a situation where the dynamic has changed, the planning isn't done, and then what the hell do you do? So either way, there are risks.
Yes. Deirdre Heenan, the last word to you on this. How would Sinn Féin's approach to achieving a constitutional referendum differ from what we're seeing at the moment? And would they get there any faster?
Well, the answer to that is we don't really know, because I'm not quite sure what their approach is. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that this whole project, as it were, there are fragmented groups. We have Ireland's Future, we have a commission by the SDLP, we have Sinn Féin Commission. But really, there is no sense of momentum. There's no sense of dynamism. It's sometimes mentioned. I don't think you could stop anyone in the street and ask them, what exactly are they doing? What are their objectives? What will this shared island or new Ireland look like? We get all these types of terms, but in the end, it's meaningless to people. During those toxic Brexit debates, reunification appeared to be on the horizon, appeared to be a reality, something that we would see. Sinn Féin talked about it happening within a five-year period. Such was the strength of feeling around Brexit and leaving the EU and the treatment of the North by the British government and Boris Johnson. But that has gone. It's come and gone. We've moved on. We've had Brexit. We've had COVID. We're seeing wars across Europe, living through a cost of living crisis. I don't think there's any push here to move into a further period of instability. And the thing that's missing for me is, who is leading this agenda? Is there actually someone with a coherence plan, someone to articulate what this is, the offer for you? This was what it will look like for you and your children. So we talk a lot about people in the middle. Those people will be the decision makers in the North. But what is the offer for them? I don't think they could tell you. We get a lot of grandstanding, but very, very little of substance. And you get the idea that those advocates of unity hope that something will come along, something will come out of the blue, something over that horizon, like Brexit, like another COVID crisis, and change the dynamic. And before we know it, we'll be in a united Ireland. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining us today. That's Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University, Deirdre Heenan, and Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times, Mark Hennessy. Thank you both for giving up your Easter Sunday to speak with us this afternoon.